Back in the 1990s, when I was in graduate school, I met the monks of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Durham, North Carolina. They had a house there, St. John's House, which wasn't too far from the campus of Duke University and Divinity School where I was studying. I met a couple of their monks because they were students with me at Duke. We took Greek together, we took worship together, we took theology together. I came to know several of them very well, especially one of them, Eldridge Pendleton, who is from the town of Farmersville, where I used to be pastor. A small world. I came to love the monks there in the community. I came to appreciate my time with them. I would go there on Saturdays for communion with them. Every Saturday, we would worship and we'd pray together, and we'd spend time together sitting in and chatting and eating and drinking and just having a nice time before I'd head out to my parish where I was serving as a student pastor under appointment. The monks of the society were welcoming to me. They gathered me in difficult times. They were there to cry with me. In happy times, they were there to laugh with me. I found great solace there, great comfort in their community. So much so that I decided to test my vocation as a monk. And what that means is that I took some time and I went up to their mother house, which is located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. Actually, it's really just right there where Harvard is, on Memorial Drive, and they have a monastery there. And I came to live with them for over half a year. I studied with them. I studied what the monastic life would be like, what the worship life was like. I just took time off from my formal studies to study spirituality personally for me, to find out if a monastic way of life, the celibate way of life in the monastery, would be a way for me to deal with the struggle and the turmoil I was still in at that time over my sexuality. As wonderful as these monks were, it wasn't the life for me. For one thing, I like to laugh too much. I like to be loud and boisterous. I love to be amongst people and enjoy time with them. I'm not an introvert. I'm very much an outwardly turned person in general. And so this was just not really the right thing for me. I appreciate times of silence. I appreciate times of waiting. I appreciated times with them, but it just wasn't the life that I was called to. I continue my relationship with them even unto this day. I'm an associate of their society, an associate of their community. I go back on occasion and I pray and spend time there on retreat. It's a very powerful personal part of my own spirituality. One of the things I learned from the monks, one of the things that they taught me during my time as a novice in their community, was the importance of waiting. Now, most of us don't really like to wait too much. I know I really don't like waiting at all. My goodness, when I'm driving out on I-30 and there's an accident on the bridge and I get notification of it fast enough, I get off and I go around and I get on side roads. I take the route out to Forney instead of across the lake bridge. I do anything to avoid having to sit still in traffic for an hour. I can't stand that. Even if it makes a longer drive, I'd rather be in motion than sitting and waiting. There's nothing worse than that for me. Sitting with nothing to do, with nothing you can do, and having to wait. That's true even to today, after all of these years. But one of the things the monks taught me, I guess I didn't learn it very well, but it's still there, is the importance of waiting. Waiting, listening, reflecting, resolving, acting, and all with patience. In the Hebrew scriptures today, in Psalm 130, we have a powerful line where it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in God's word I hope. Now, the Psalms, being part of the Hebrew Bible, were written in, well, Hebrew. And here in Psalm 130, we find two different words of importance. We find the word kava, and we find the word yakal. In the NRSV, the word kava is translated wait. And it means to wait. It means to stand by. It means to wait. Yakal is often translated hope, but it also means to wait. If kava means to wait expectantly, then yakal means to wait hopefully. And that's how it's rendered here in the passage. I wait expectantly, for the Lord my soul waits expectantly, and in God's word, I hope waitfully. I wait hopefully. I hope expectantly. It's a powerful couple of words here. They are emotive words. They contain a great deal of emotion. In both cases, their emotion is a positive one, although it is tempered with a little bit of concern in the first word, kava, and yakal, it's absolutely a positive expectation. Hopefulness is the sense here. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Now, I'm a night guy. I prefer staying up late. That's just me. In fact, it kind of bothers me. We have church on Sunday mornings. After all, it was a Last Supper, not a prayer breakfast. But they don't ever seem to get that when I talk to churches. We want to have worship in the morning, and that's okay. More than those who watch for the morning. Those who get up early. My mother was one of those. She used to get up before the sun would come up. On vacation, she would get up and she'd go and she'd sit out by the pool and she'd sit there with her coffee and watch the eastern horizon and wait for the sun to come up. Me, I'd rather have my head on that pillow in the house enjoying the air conditioning rather than sitting outside and waiting for the sun to come up. No thank you. But that's this expectation, this excitement that is being written about here by the psalmist. Waiting with hopeful expectation and knowing it's going to happen, because guess what? The sun is going to come up in the morning. More than those who watch in the morning, I have hope and expectation that God will come. That puts it in perspective. With greater hope and with greater expectation than those who sit up in the morning and wait for the sun to come up, with greater hope and greater expectation than those who get up and watch the sunset, or I could translate that, even those who wait in the evening, even those who wait in the evening, because yes, the sun will set too, with greater expectation and greater hope than that, we wait for the Lord. We wait for God. That word Lord, that bothers some people. Lord is the English translation of a Hebrew word, Adonai, which means Lord, Master. But usually, and especially if it's an all capitalization, if every letter is capitalized, in the Bible and in some liturgies, you find it that way. When every letter is capitalized, that word Lord is translating the proper name for God, the personal name for the deity, Yahweh. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is translating the Hebrew name, Yahweh. It was the Hebrew practice not to say that name, because you might be taking the Lord's name in vain if you did. So you just didn't say it at all. Instead, when you saw Yahweh written down in Hebrew consonants, you would pronounce Adonai instead. It resulted in some strange pseudonames for God, and we'll talk about that at some other time. But Yahweh, the personal name of the deity, has a specific meaning. You see, Yahweh is the Hebrew to-be verb. Yep. God's name means I am. I exist. I am the one who is and who cannot not be. I, by my very nature, am. That is what God's name means. I am. I'm here. I'm present. I'm here for you. And that's what God's name means. The one who is. So when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, it's translating the personal name of the deity, reminding us that I am is our God. I wait for the I am, my soul waits. I wait for the one who is, my soul waits. More than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. In the monastery, I learned the importance of waiting, and that one of the most critical elements of waiting is listening. Listening to what God might be saying. One day, it was early in the morning, around Halloween actually, and I'm sitting in the chapel at the monastery, in the cloister with the other monks, and it's quiet. We've just sung the Psalter, and there's a time of silence in morning prayer, and we were sitting in the silence, listening to what God would say to us, and my eyes were scanning the Psalter, and my head was also thinking forward to the canticle we were getting ready to sing, and I was wondering if I could hit the note right, and I really wasn't paying attention to God. And in the middle of the silence, I suddenly started hearing. And at first I thought it was somebody's stomach, because, you know, we hadn't had breakfast yet. It was 6:30, and no. It wasn't somebody's stomach. And I was looking around, and a couple of the other monks are looking around, and we heard it again. And then I started to hear my name in that. Greg. And one of the other monks, Eldridge, reaches over and touches me on the shoulder. I nearly came out of my cassock. He shocked me so much. It sounded like this sound was calling my name. It was a couple of cats outside having a fight. Greg. Actually, I thought it was God trying to remind me I need to be in prayer. I need to be listening for that still small voice of God. I'm reminded of the story from 1 Kings, where Elijah is running for his life, and he runs to Mount Horeb, and he's in hiding there, and he's praying to God and asking God what he should do, and God says, "Wait for me to come by." And then there's a wind, but God is not in the wind. And there's a thunder, but God is not in the thunder. There's lightning, but God is not in the thunder. There's an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. But then there's silence. And it says that Elijah knew that in the silence, God was there. And he goes outside and he puts a veil over his face and he stands in the silence. And he listens for God's voice. Waiting and listening and being silent before God. For someone who likes to run off at the mouth, that can be really hard. Friends, that can be a real challenge. But it's part of waiting. Being silent and listening for God. And then pondering it, considering it, listening and then hearing and then pondering and considering what you've heard, because you will hear something. It may be as simple as some cats fighting outside or your stomach growling because it's breakfast time, or it may be something more. Often is more. When I'm silent, when I'm quiet, when I'm listening, when I can hear past that essential hum in my head from my tinnitus and I can hear through to the voice of God, it's an impression usually. A face will come to my mind. Someone I need to call. Someone I need to visit. Or a passage of scripture might float through my head. Something I need to look at, pray about, and consider. Or some need may come to the surface. Something I've usually forgotten to do. Something will come. And then I resolved to do something about it. And when the silence is over, when the waiting is over, actually part of the waiting, not only do I hear and consider and ponder and resolve myself to act upon it, you then have the action. That's part of waiting too. Acting. Now, how do you get that? Easy. Just as in the Hebrew, so also in the English, the word wait has multiple connotations. Think about your waiter when you go to a restaurant, the wait staff, or someone serving the king. They wait on the king. Or the queen had ladies in waiting, has them. When I was at the consecration for the cruise ship, the Eurodam, I was the consecrating chaplain for the Eurodam of the Holland America line, and I'm standing there, and there's Queen Beatrix, and she's standing there, and there's these three ladies standing behind her, and I'm wondering who they are, and I whisper that question to one of the officers of the ship, and he whispers back, "Those are her ladies in waiting." Well, what do they do? He says, "They're flunkies. Gophers, go do things for her, prepare things. Her personal staff." Ah. To wait means to wait, but it also means to act, to serve, to do that which you have been enlightened to do, that you've heard to do, to act. Part of waiting is serving, is doing, is acting, is action. Now, we've been waiting a long time. Pandemic started in what? March of 2020? That was a long time ago. I've been to two birthdays since then. It's a long time ago. March of 2020. It's August of 21. This pandemic has been going on a long time. We've been in danger and out of danger and in danger and out of danger. We've got vaccinations now. But we still have to be careful, be concerned, reach out and help others. We need to be careful and concerned not to unknowingly spread the virus. We have to be careful and concerned for those who haven't been vaccinated. And if you haven't been, please do talk to your doctor and get vaccinated. We have to be careful, but we have to wait. And at first we waited on doctors and scientists and the government and on those who were still working because, well, they had to work to get food on our tables and power in our houses and medicine, researchers to develop vaccines. We were waiting, they were working. It wasn't easy to wait. We stopped doing in-person worship. That was hard. And it was hard to wait until we could meet again. But we needed to wait. It'd be safer. As safe as possible. Waiting is hard. But waiting is always necessary. Waiting and listening, considering and pondering, reflecting upon, then resolving to act, then acting. And we do all of it with patience. And patience is hard too. Because we want to see results not yesterday, not the day before yesterday. We wanted to see results 3 weeks ago, a month ago. We want results now. Not next week or next month or next year. We want results now. No. My sisters and brothers, waiting and patience. Patiently waiting. Ooh, those two words together just give me the bleh. But guess what? We have to do that. That's what we have to do to move forward. You see, the church will never move backwards. When we started our time of lockdowns, we went online. Ed back there, absolute saint, worked to get y'all live along with Patrick, got you live, got you broadcasting, so that you could still be together as a family, even though dispersed through the internet. Wonderful. It's great what technology can do when it works, right, gentlemen? Yeah. Well, That's not going away. Because you see, the world today is oriented differently now. We search for church online. When you talk to millennials, the younger people, when they want to visit a church, what do? They search for it. Okay, let's find a church in our area. Let's find a church that has this, has that, has this other. Find a church that has a worship service that we can look at it online and see if we like it. Find a worship service that, quite frankly, touches us or informs us or encourages us. So they'll look it up online. And they'll watch it, too, to get some idea of what it's like. That was true before the pandemic. And those churches that had a strong internet presence, they were growing because of it. Now we all have to have it just to survive. Likewise, people go to church now online that never went to church before. In my own ministry, I have had people watch worship services from as far away as Holland and Poland. I have some regular people who watch our service right here at Lakewood from Amsterdam. And during the pandemic and before the pandemic, when I would send up sermons on delay on YouTube that you can watch during the week, people watched from as far away, based upon the server records, as far away as the International Space Station up in orbit. Meeting a need. Online presence meets a need. A need for a word of the Lord, a need for a reminder of God's grace, a need for a reminder of God's love. There are so many horrible voices out there on the internet preaching judgmentalism, condemnation, throwing Bibles at people. No, scriptures are not a weapon, but a means of grace. And we're called to share God's grace with all. And we can be a voice, an alternative voice, out there in the wasteland that is the internet. We can be an alternative voice, speaking grace and peace to all. Waiting means we listen, we consider, we ponder, we resolve to act, we act. And we do so patiently, knowing it takes time. And changes that come, they come. And the people we can reach because of them are still there. Wait for the Lord. More than those who watch in the morning, more than those who watch for the morning, my friends, we are called to be expectantly, hopefully waiting for God, listening for God, pondering what God has said, resolving to act, and then act upon what God is calling us to do. Each and every one of you, I guarantee you, each and every one of you, if you listen to what God is saying, you'll have an idea, a little bit better idea, an idea of what God's calling is for you. Listen. Be open. Be receptive to what God is saying to you today. I don't like waiting, Greg. Neither do I. I have trouble listening. I get distracted. So do I. But we must listen. We must wait. And we have to be patient. Because even when we begin to act as part of waiting, when we serve, it takes time. It truly does. This church is poised. This congregation, Lakewood United Methodist Church, is poised to act. It's acting now. On Wednesday, we took a bunch of supplies and food for teachers and supplies for students over to the elementary school, Dandy Rogers Elementary School, where my aunt used to teach. We took those over there to people who are working, who are putting themselves at risk as teachers, who are acting. We acted. Proud of this church for what it does. honored to be its pastor. I'm honored to be your pastor. We have a lot to do. We have listening to do, pondering to do, resolution to do, serving to do. And we're called to be patient with each other and with our action as we serve. May we be a people. I have to breathe deeply when I say it. May we be a people who wait for Yahweh Elohim, the one who is. May we be a people who listen. May we be a people who ponder. May we be a people who resolve. May we be a people who serve. And may we be a people who do all this patiently with each other and with those outside these walls who need to hear and receive the good news that God loves them without any exception. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Our souls wait more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. May we wait for the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.